Have your Bibles tonight. I invite you to open with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Paul mentioned to his readers in the book of 1 Corinthians 10 that the Old Testament examples were written for our admonition. And certainly tonight we can use the example of Lot to give us an important, I believe, admonition concerning how that we should stay close to the Lord and how that we need to be careful that the world don't lure us away from our fellowship with the Lord. We find that the Bible says in verse 6 of 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live ungodly. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Tonight, as we want to note, as we find the friendly enemy, and our friendly enemy is the world tonight, as that of a believer. We discussed this morning what we were talking about when we mentioned the world. And we find that, of course, it's that system that's anti-God, that system that is not according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is not of the Father, but is purely of the world. Now, as we look back tonight to the book of Genesis chapter 13, we find in Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 through 11, we find that how that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. The Bible says, "Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, and thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another." We find as we study the Bible, of course, that the land was not able to take care of Abraham and Lot and their families with all their herds and all the things that they had. So we find that the decision that Abraham had told Lot that you choose which way you will go, and I will choose the other which way that I will go. I cannot look into Lot's heart because I don't know Lot's heart. I can look by the fruits that Lot showed in his life and tells us some of the things, that decision that Lot made. I'm reminded that the Bible tells us tonight, "He that thinketh he standeth, beware lest he fall." But as I look tonight, I find that it seems to me that Sodom kindly lured Lot its way. And as we note, they kindly courted him, that is the world, as it courts us. You know, the Bible says in James 4:4, he says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity against God? Whosoever shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And that's a strong warning to those who would align themselves with this world rather than being a friend of God. Now, as I look tonight, first of all, I want to note with you, as to find the world that is accorded Lot, I want you to note the decision that Lot made. See, two things that stand out to me as I studied about this concerning his decision. First of all, I believe it was a prayerless decision. Nowhere do we find, and I realize that we do not find even in Abraham's decision, we are finding prayer mentioned. But we do not find prayer mentioned in Lot's decision that he made. You know, the Bible admonishes me and the Bible admonishes each of us that every decision that we make, whether small or great, we should saturate it with prayer. You will find the early church, and I've often studied and often been amazed at how that even the smallest of decisions that they would make, they would saturate it with prayer. In the book of Acts chapter 1, we find as they were selecting Matthias to take the place of Judas, the Bible says they prayed. They prayed. What an admonition for us. When we seek decisions that are to be made in our lives, we should pray and seek God's will and God's guidance in that decision that we're going to make. If we don't, so many times we run into trouble, don't we? We get into trouble in our lives. So we should pray and ask God's guidance. And I believe as we meditate, I believe as we study God's Word, that God will lead us and God will guide us in the directions that He wants us to go. And I believe that God will open the door and He will show us the way that He intends for us to go. I look tonight, and not only do I see it's a prayerless decision, I also see that it's a godless decision, as I say again. It seems to me that Abraham had a sweet spirit about him. And as Abraham allowed Lot to choose, Abraham did the thing that many of us do. We find that Lot chose to walk by sight and rather than walk by faith. Again, I say, in Abraham's decision, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Nothing is said concerning Lot with his decision. He looks, he sees the well-watered plain. No doubt it was something that would catch his eye, as it would catch each of us, and it influenced his decision in which direction he would go. Oftentimes in our lives, and I'm guilty, we're often looking for grass that's greener on the other side, aren't we? And only when we move and only when we make a decision, oftentimes, we find the grass isn't greener on the other side. I remember an elderly preacher one time gave me some advice. I didn't take it, but he gave me some advice. And his advice was this: Danny, whenever you change churches, you remember this. You're changing faces. You're not changing people. That was advice. I didn't take it, but I want to tell you something. He was right. He was right. And that is just about in everything that we do. Lot looked at the green fields. He looked at the things that were in abundance, and he made his decision. As I studied this again, I asked myself, did he go because of want, or did he go because of his need? And I look and I think of what the Bible says in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto thee. Note again the courtship of the world as it was courting him, as it was flirting Lot. I do not believe that Lot ever intended to go down into Sodom. I really don't. I believe he pitched his tent toward there, and I believe gradually and gradually and gradually it lured him into it. Much as like the world today and the God's people. It doesn't come all at us at just one time. Luring gradually, 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 we slip away from the Lord. Look about it. I look back in my ministry. I can tell you names that I look and I see how that they begin to give themselves to the world, leaving the things of God, gradually, gradually, leaving the things of God, going to the world. And you know what happened? You'll find that sudden from time, there came a time that they just simply dropped by the wayside seemingly. No more serving God, no more God in their life. And folks, I'll tell you something. To get them back is very difficult in the service of God. So we find that it lured him in his decision. Motivation, covetousness. Turn in your Bible again to 1 John 2 and look at verse 16. And we find there are threefold temptation that, as you might say, the devil through the world gives us. And the Bible describes this, that as we note in the world, there is the lust of the flesh. Now, you know, one of the things the flesh really loves is pleasure. Pleasure. The flesh really loves it. Now, keep in mind, I said this morning, the flesh isn't something that you cut or you bruise and blood comes out or something. The flesh is the nature within man. And it seems like that in man, his nature covets pleasure. Pleasure. You know, one of the things, and sometimes it takes the innocent things, but one of the things that it seems like the world is gearing toward men today, and even toward the Christian community, is that of pleasure. pleasure. And it seems like people are occupied with pleasure. I want to have a good time. Pardon me for saying it. Don't get mad at me. But it seems like the world wants to go on a party. And we want to party all the time. You know, I love a good time. But folk, there's seriousness about life too, isn't there? There is a spiritual part of man. And the spiritual part of man outweighs the fleshly part of man. And the way it should be in our lives. And so tonight we find that the world gave itself to pleasure. Now, I'm going to look, and I'm not going to embarrass y'all today because I am glad y'all went to the ball game. I really am. I think that, and don't say, Brother Danny Singles, I just wished your team had won. Now, you say, Brother Danny, you're telling a story in the pulpit. But I want you to know, we enjoy those things. We enjoy those things, and we should. I mean, we support those things. But as we know tonight, folk, the world can use those things to lure us away from God. And you've got to look tonight, even as I look at Sister Karen and all these in our school systems, it seems like today that even the school system and the educational system is putting more pressure on our young people and things to take them away from God at specific times in the times that we used to see in our lives. You say, Brother Danny, you've just not appeared with the times. But it seems that way. I remember in my life, and that's a long time ago in my younger days. Do y'all remember Walt Disney? Mickey Mouse and all those. Some of us do. Mickey Mouse and all those. Do you remember when Walt Disney came on, what time it had? Walt Disney came on at, listen, 5 or 6:30 on Sunday evenings. And you know what? A lot of uproar was made, even in the Christian community, that they would put Walt Disney, and Walt Disney was hitting our Sunday night crowds in our church services. And we just had such a fling about that. But we got over it, didn't we? We got over that. But what I'm saying tonight, as we look, the pressure the world puts on us. Again, I want to say, as I said this morning, when I talk about the world, I'm not talking about the earth. I'm not talking specifically about the people. I'm talking about the evil system. The evil system of this world that does not point toward Christ, but is pointing toward the devil and this world. And it's luring. It's luring. Look in 1 Timothy 6, and look how that an innocent thing was taken and how that it was abused in verse 10 concerning Lot. Listen to what it says. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they, the Bible says, have erred from the faith, have pierced themselves with many sorrows. Tonight we're given a physical and visual illustration of that verse. We're given Lot and how that Lot and that love for the material thing in his life caused him to err spiritually in his life. It took him away from his Lord. And that is what fellowship that he had lost. So we find tonight how that the world seemed to flirt after Lot, how that it coveted or courted him. But I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want you to look with me at verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. I believe Brother Donald read this in his devotional this morning to us, but it won't hurt to read it again. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the new of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We find that the world conformed him. That is, that they squeezed Lot into its image. You know, tonight, I say again, the purpose of the church is to do what? To preach the gospel and that the gospel change and convert men. But yet we find the opposite is true in Lot's case and in many cases today, that the world is conforming us instead of the gospel through our lives transforming the world as it should. As we look tonight,
three things about this conforming of Lot. First of all, the wrong direction. Again, Genesis 13:12, and Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He pitched toward Sodom. He went in that direction. Doesn't the Bible say that we should flee all appearances of evil? Flee all appearances of evil. Lot didn't take that admonition as he pointed himself toward that wicked city. Maybe in our mind, maybe in our hearts, we make decisions. We are not there physically. We are not there in our lives, but in our minds, in our hearts, we're making decisions that we're going to move in that direction. I look at the example of David. Before he ever went and did such a gross sin, my, listen, in his mind and his heart as he walked out there, before he ever did such a gross act. So we find in Lot's case, he made the wrong direction. He went in the wrong direction. Many times we do in our lives. The Bible says, if you'll turn also to Genesis chapter 19, you'll find also something else about the story. Not only did he go in the wrong direction, but I want you to note something else. There was willful, you might say, and woeful deception. Look in the book of Genesis 19 tonight, and listen what it says concerning this story in the book of Genesis 19. I've got to be warning you tonight. This is something that is hard for our ears as we turn and read these scriptures. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm embarrassed to read them in the pulpit of what we find transpiring here. The Bible says in verse 1 of Genesis 19, there came two angels to Sodom at even. See, Lot, the Bible says, is in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. In my research of this verse, these verses, I have learned that perhaps Lot, in this position, he is at the gate of the city, that he's already moved there, and perhaps that they've even elevated him to a part of their government, that he is probably like a city councilman as he's there at that city. You see, here's something that we're going to learn. Lot loved this city. Lot loved this city. This city meant much to Lot. He loved it. And you'll find that deception of how that it deceived him. And the Bible says here, he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Tarry all night and wash your feet and shall rise up early. Go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And Lot did what? The Bible says he pressed them. He moved them greatly. They turned into him. They entered into his house. He made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. Fine there, isn't it? I mean, here, these two angels, they come. Lot, being the person he should, ought to invite them in. But now I want to show you something. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, old and young, all the people from every quarter. They called unto Lot. They said unto him, "Where are the men which came unto thee this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them." And the Lord went out. And the Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Underline that. I pray you what? Brethren. How in the world, living in such a wicked city, among these wicked people, could this child of God ever address these wicked men as brethren? See where Lot has come. He has vexed his righteous soul. It has even deceived him that he likens them to brethren. Again, I say, as James says, be not friends of this world. And tonight, folk, don't get mad and throw your songbook at me, but I want to tell you something. A child of God, we ought to be an example to those who are without Christ. I have friends without Christ. Yes, you have friends without Christ. But my fellowship ought to be
with a child of God and enjoy that fellowship that we have in common with a child of God. There's something wrong if I find fellowship with someone who acts like these people did in Sodom. Amen? There's just something wrong, folks. Something's wrong with Lot. Here he comes. And the Bible says he just called them brethren. He said, "Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Not only these men do nothing, for therefore come they under the shadow of my roof." Gross. Amen. We're talking about a child of God. We're talking about a child of God that can make such a statement, and even his own family can do such. Read on. "They said, 'Stand back.' The angels did. And they said again, 'This one fellow comes to us into,'" or excuse me, I'm sorry, they didn't. "And they said, 'Stand back, these men of Sodom.' And they said again, 'This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be adjudged. Now we'll deal with worse with thee than with them.' They pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door." The angels pulling Lot inside the house. And the Bible said these angels smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, but small and great, so they wearied themselves to find the door. They lived in a world of moral depravity. It reminds us sadly that America, if not there, is coming to this day. And what is very distressful is that here Lot's conscience had become so dull that he could not discern what was right and what was wrong in the way that he did. I submit to you, have we come to that place today that in many times in the Christian community, even we can't even discern what's right and what's wrong anymore? Now I'm going to get an A, and I know I'll win the most popular contest for preaching this, but that's what God's laid on my heart. I'm going to preach it. Amen. Now I'll show you something else. "The men said unto Lot, 'Hast thou here any besides?'" Do you have any other family here? These angels said. "Lot said, 'I got a son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city. Bring them out of this place.'" What did those angels say? "Get out. Get out. You get out of this place. Get your family out of this place." Why? Why? "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Now, here it is. Lot, go to your family. Lot, get them out. You got to get out. But I want to show you something. Here is the tragedy of Lot. Here is what we find, that he's become so conformed that look at his influence. Look at what the Bible says. "Lot went out. He spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, 'Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city.' But he seemed as one that mocked his son-in-law." They just mocked him, laughed at him. My, his testimony. It reminds me of what the Lord said concerning as he sent Nathan unto David, and what he said, "You've given the enemies of God cause to blaspheme his name, to bring reproach upon God." And that was his life, that he lived in such a way that, listen, no influence upon his family. Nothing that he said had seemed to matter. And tragically, tragically, we see that it had conformed him to their way. But now I'll show you something else very quickly. The corruption. Look at verse 15. "When the morning arose, the angels hastened, Lot saying, 'Arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest ye be consumed in the iniquity of the city.' Now, here is something that gets sadder. Now, look. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, dragging him. While he lingered. You say, Brother Dan, what do you mean? He didn't want to go. He loved the city of Sodom. Now, let me ask you, and I have to ask myself, if the Lord came today, and He could, would we want to go up with Him? Ponder that question. You say, now, Brother Danny, I love down here too much. Now, folk, the greatest desire in our hearts, the hope that God has set in us, is for Jesus to come again, and we go to be with Him. But how we drove down so many stakes, and I'm saying Danny Stanford, how we drove down so many stakes so deep in this world that we don't want to let it go, and we say, linger a little longer, please Jesus. Linger a little longer, please Jesus. You know, we sing a song, wait a little longer, please Jesus. I tell you, I don't believe Jesus is going to wait. He's going to come at His appointed time. Lot said, no, I can't leave. I can't leave. And what did the Bible say? Upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord, being merciful unto him, brought him forth and set him without the city. Just drug him out and put him outside the city. Now you say, Brother Danny, did it cost him? Yes, it did. It cost him. It cost him deeply. What did it cost him? Four things, and I'll hush. Worship. Worship. When Abraham and Lot were together, God spoke to him, and he was with God. But it's an amazing thing. When Lot began to drift towards Sodom, you do not hear Lot speaking to God, and God did not speak to Lot. What happened? He began to drift away from God. And as the statement says, and many times we say, well, I just can't hear God speaking to me anymore. God is speaking, but we're too far off. Amen. We're far off and we've drifted away that we don't hear His voice as we should. Lot lost his worship. And not only that, what else did Lot lose? His witness. His witness. Remember, he came, and what did the angel say? How many souls can I find in this city? And how many was it brought down to? 10, but they couldn't find two that Lot had effectively witnessed to and led to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, we think Noah was the biggest failure in the world. Noah was the biggest success in the world. At least Noah got his family into the ark. He had that testimony, but Lot could not do that. Even his son-in-laws. No influence on them. And let me tell you this. As you go on and study the book of Genesis, you know what we find Lot even doing? You think about corruptness. We find Lot in a cave after Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll find Lot's in a cave. And what's happening? Lot has become drunken, and Lot, to our ears, making incest with his own daughters. How the world had corrupted him, but it cost him his witness. The effectiveness of that witness that he had in his life. More precious to a child of God, that witness. What about his wealth? Look back, which he was told not to do, but he could find, and there was what? A puff of smoke. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, possessions. Possessions. And the pride of life, the philosophies, all that was in Sodom, did what? Burnt. Burnt. We've been kind of trying to move, and I've been trying to move things in our study. And there's some things that several years ago, we went to the Holy Land. And supposedly we went to the exact spot where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And by the way, where Sodom and Gomorrah was, I understand today, is where the Dead Sea sits right over today. Salt, salt. I went there, and I don't know why I did, but I reached down to put my finger in the water and tasted it. And oh, goodness gracious, salty, so salty. But I have a little jar on my study. And in that jar, I have kind of like what you would call charcoal rocks. And it was supposed to be rocks from Sodom and Gomorrah where that place burnt, the reality of it. But I don't need a rock in a fruit jar to tell me that Sodom and Gomorrah happened. I have the Word of God that told us and tells us that this world is going to pass away. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. That's where our treasures really should be. And then we find, of course, he lost his wife, didn't he? He lost his mate. The words of Jesus, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She did what? Disobeyed, looked back. And the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Take heed, take heed. This world, we enjoy the earth. Sure we do. We enjoy it. God's given us to inhabit it, to enjoy the things that's good that He's placed upon this earth. But yet there is an evil system that seeks to do what? Draw God's children away from Him. To draw our allegiance, to draw our loyalty away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give it to the world. And folk, listen. God is a jealous God. And He will not have us doing that in our lives. You say, Brother Danny, and I thought of this. You say, Brother Danny, I just think Lot was the happiest person in the world. Do we? I really don't think he was. I think Lot was one of the most miserable people in the world. And he really came to realize that. Because he couldn't enjoy that presence and that fellowship with the Lord that he once had in his life. The world had robbed him of those things. You know, I'm thankful tonight that God's children can come back to Him. Aren't you? I'm thankful for that. You know, David made the statement, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David drifted away from the Lord. Yea, the world lured him, courted him. My, conformed him, corrupted him, paid an awful price. But you listen, David acknowledged his straying, and David was restored to the joy of his salvation in his life. And his life became fruitful again. Though he paid a price, it became fruitful again in God's way. My, tonight, may we take the admonitions and use them that God would bless us as His children. Ask you to stand tonight if you would. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I thank you for the illustrations that you give us. Lord, I can't look and be that judgmental of Lot when so many times, Lord, I have to examine my own heart. And oftentimes, Lord, the world begins to put its pressure. And that pure pressure, Lord, that we seem to often feel that it tries to squeeze and seems like it squeezes harder and squeezes harder. But Lord, thankful for your Spirit, that greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Thankful for the opportunity of prayer, communion with Thee. Thankful for God's people. Thankful for the church, the encouragement that they give my life. And each of us into fellowshipping that we have with you and what great it is. Lord, for your precious word that gives us the strength, Lord, to live and overcome this present world through you. Father, again, thank you for delivering us from the evil of this old world, the world's condemnation, and Lord, giving us an eternal home in glory. All because of Jesus and what He has did for us. We ask Thee to forgive us. Anything we've said to be a hindrance, remove it from hearts and ears, but take what you would use to accomplish your glory, and we'll give you the honor. For we ask these things in Christ's name.